The rebuilding of the temple. There's only two verses in the Bible that deals with this, and directly. A lot of times, we as we read the Bible, we think about the matter of reading between the lines. Just what does it mean? And here's one passage that the Lord really deals with and reads between the lines for us. Now, this is a picture of the temple, probably that they will build during the tribulation period or before the tribulation period starts. That means we could see it being built in our time before the rapture, or it'll be built after we're taken out. It must be completed 3.5 years after the rapture. That's in the middle of the tribulation period that follows the rapture of the believers. Now, we find that the Jews built this temple here. This is a scale model that's built in Jerusalem. This is outside, and it's 1/4 inch scale. You'll see after a while some people standing by, and you can get an idea of the picture of it. The Jews built this and spent quite a bit of money, millions of dollars on this and research. And then they used the actual material that's supposed to be there. The tall building there is the actual temple itself. And it was originally made of marble, and in the model it's made of marble. You've got some gates that's overlaid with gold, and in the model it's overlaid with gold. They not only built this temple, they built the whole city of Old Jerusalem in the time of Christ. And they had the blueprints to build this. They had to come up with the blueprints, as it was, the temple similar to what Solomon had built and had been remodeled and so on down through the years on that. This is not the millennial temple, the temple that will be built during the thousand-year reign. It's an ultra-modern temple, and it's built during the millennium simply as a school. The Jews think they're building this to worship God, and they have a misunderstanding of the Scriptures. And so what they're doing in this is what God really wants them to do in the sense of fulfilling the prophecy concerning the Antichrist as he goes into the temple and desecrates it and then declares war on the Jews in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And so we want to start with this as we look at it. We'll be talking about it a little bit more. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 15, and the Bible says that to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. Now, notice that to this agree the words of the prophets. It doesn't quote anything. It says this is what the other scriptures are talking about, and this is what's in between the lines concerning the rebuilding of the temple. And then the next verse tells us, so after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. Now the temple is to replace, or was built to replace, the tabernacle. The tabernacle had a wall around it, the tent, and then in the tent you had two rooms, and that was made with a curtain in there. You had the holy place and the most holy place. And then when they had finally got to Israel, to the land, and they conquered the land, and King David now was king of Israel, and things were going good, and God was really blessing. He wanted to build a permanent place. God kind of chastised him about that, and then told him that he couldn't build the temple because he was a man of war and he had sinned against God. He had committed adultery and murder, and has passed on that, and so this hindered him from being able to build the temple. God allowed Solomon to build the temple. Now, when Solomon was able to build the temple, he did not build it exactly as it was to be built in relation to the tabernacle. Solomon thought that if it was greater and bigger, if you could make something really big, that would honor God. And that would give him more glory. The bigger it was, the better it was. And so Solomon did not stay with the measurements that he should have stayed with. He multiplied it. He built it bigger. And then he didn't just stay with the right number. There was to be one candlestick, 7-lamp candlestick in the holy place. He had a bunch of them in there, and other things that he did. His wives influenced him to add additions to it. And this is a picture of the church today in the matter of we compromise and we do not have the church that we ought to have and that God wants to have. So you have to be careful about this and do it God's way. But this temple is the one that was there in the time of Jesus. And this is probably the temple that will be built during the tribulation period. The purpose of this, and God allows it to be built, not to worship, but in order that you would have the holy place available. And so as we look at this now, he calls it not the temple of Moses or the temple of David or the temple of Solomon. In Acts, it's called the tabernacle of David. This is to let us know that those who will rebuild this temple during the tribulation period, the Jews who will build this, are before the tribulation period, are not right with God. David wasn't allowed to build it because he wasn't right with God. And so the Jews who will build this before or during the tribulation period are not right with God. Right now, you have the Jews in the land. They are a nation of God, as we've looked at before on the Valley of the Dry Bones. But spiritually, they are not right with God. They do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And they're looking for the Messiah to come. And so they're not right with God, and they will be allowed to build this. And that's why it's called the Tabernacle of David. And then in the next verse, verse 17, and the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. If the temple is built before the tribulation, before the rapture, it should cause a revival in our churches, realizing that it is time for Christ to come and cause a revival amongst us. Same thing with these other prophecies, but most of them don't mean a thing to the church because they understand very little about prophecy. Now, to have the temple is very important. You've got to have a holy place. And Amos chapter 9 is the second place where the Bible mentions the temple. You have it in Acts, and then in Amos chapter 9, verse 11, in that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. So this is a prophecy in the Old Testament. It's reassured in the New Testament in the book of Acts. Now, this building, the first room, is the holy place. Now, we consider this to be our holy place, and rightly so, as we worship Christ, the resurrected one. The Jews would not even think about this being a holy place. The holy place for the Jews is the first room of the tabernacle, later of the temple. The temple does not exist. That's why the Western Wall is very precious to the Jews. When this temple was destroyed in 70 AD, they thought the holiness in the temple went into the wall, and when they rebuild the temple, the holiness will go back into the temple as they rebuild it. They've got a lot of other ideas that are kind of crazy and far-fetched, but that's one that's mainly in dealing with this, especially the Orthodox Jews. This is a picture, as you see, of the temple area. You'll notice the temple compound, and then the city of Jerusalem built around the temple on this. In 70 AD, the temple was completely destroyed. The city was destroyed. Not one stone was left upon another. Now, when they would destroy the buildings, as they came in, the Romans did and all, and destroyed this, after it was over with, the ruins was not picked up and cleaned up and moved out of the way. The dirt would fill in as the sand would come in and the wind would blow, and they just build on top of it. Where you walk today is about 20 or 30 feet above the original area of the temple. An idea of that, to give you a proof of that, there's the the Pool of Bethesda. And I think I have an error let me back up here. Really, it's hard to see. If you'll notice, just in front of the temple area, you've got two buildings that's got an open area in it. That's the Pool of Bethesda. That's the sheep's pool, and the ground level today is at the top of those buildings, and you have to excavate to get down to the ground level where the pool was, and we'll look at that a little more in detail. Now, to give you some ideas about it, the Golden Dome is not where the temple was. Some people today believe that this is where the temple is to be built. there's a rock in this golden dome that they believe Mohammed stepped on and exalted, went to heaven, which he didn't do then. The temple was in that area, but not exactly where that golden dome is. That golden dome is an abomination as it is and as it stands today in that. It's totally against anything that the Jews believe, much less of Christianity involved with it. Now you have the Golden Gate. Once they found the Western Wall, as we'll look at in a moment, they begin to duplicate the rest of this in the area of Jerusalem. And they felt like this gate that is there is where the Golden Gate would be. It's sealed. They believe when the Messiah comes, or they'll unseal that gate, and the Messiah will come. And where he walks, going through that gate, is where the graves will be opened. I mean, they've got some really crazy views dealing with all of this. Nothing to do with the scriptures at all with that. And so now here you have the temple, you have the Golden Gate, and then you have the Western Wall. When the temple was destroyed, they found part of this Western Wall. And from that point, they begin to find out and excavate where the rest of the temple would be and where the different things would be involved with it in that. Now, here's the Pool of Bethesda, and we'll see, I think, on this. Today, the ground level is at the top of this building at the Pool of Bethesda. Now, here is the excavation of that pool. You'll notice the columns that was there around the roof. At the top of the columns would have been the roof. You see the present-day ground level almost to the top of that. And then this is where they excavated down to the ground. That's not the pool there that you see in that. That's where the pool is. It's long dried up and gone. That's just where water is collected because there's no other place for it to go where they've excavated that down in there. Now, as they have searched things and researched everything, they found that on this side of the temple, there were some, the double steps, or the double doors, pardon me, and steps that are there, and they've excavated and they found part of that. Notice at the left end of where the arrow is. In 1971, I took that picture. The ground is smooth, the dirt is there and has been. I went for years now. They don't know what's under that. They haven't excavated it. I went back in 1981, and this is the excavation of that particular spot. Today, they've even excavated more. You see a honeycomb of rooms and houses that were there that they have been covered up down through the years, not only as a result of the destruction in 70 AD, but then as the years have gone by since then. And so they do this to try to locate where things are and have an idea. Most of what's in Jerusalem is guesswork, except where there's excavation. And this guesswork was done by somebody just walking along, said, this is where this happened, that's where that happened. They had no idea. And everybody fought, and it became a tradition. It became a fact in the minds of people when it's really not a fact. And so when you go to Israel and some of the places, you will see and know that this is the original part. In that area would be the spot. You can go where Jesus fed the 5,000, and you'll see a little plaque in the ground. I think it's a round circle, if I remember right, in there. And it talks about this is where Jesus. Can you imagine after Jesus fed the 5,000, called a kid over and said, I want you to stand right here now, because this is where I broke bread, and we'll have somebody come later and put up a little monument here. And then, no, I mean, they went on about their business on that. And usually when I went to Israel and would take pictures on that, I would take pictures in the area around that, for somewhere in that area is what happened for whatever place they're talking about. But here with the temple, this Western Wall became very important. This is what they found, and they built upon it. Notice there, coming out from the Western Wall, on the left-hand side, you've got some arches under there. That's a bridge that goes across there, and the under that arch, the original ground is about 10 or 15 feet below that. And so this is where it's filled in and where they are today. Now, they wanted to excavate back along that Western Wall under those arches. This area in the forefront that you see in front of those arches is the area where Jews are permitted to go and to wail because of the destruction of the temple and to pray for the rebuilding of the temple. And you'll see here where a lot of people go in. There's a way going up on this side. It's changed now today. It's even different from that, but you can get into the temple area. There's other areas you can go in, but this is mainly for the tourists, and they will check in, make sure you don't have a bomb, and plan to blow this up. At the Western Wall, they have lights, and people are there day and night. You'll have celebrations there that will be that the Jews will have for when it comes time for a young man to become a man and so on, and have different occasions to have the various celebrations out there. They do that because this is about the closest they can get to where the temple was. And they here again, seeing the scale model of the temple, the Western Wall, and from that side we have then the original compound. So when must the temple be built is the question that we are concerned about. Does this need to be done before the rapture? No. It will be done. It has to be completed 3.5 years after the rapture. The reason for that we find in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15. Here the Bible tells us, and Jesus is talking, and he says, "Now, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand." Now, the holy place is the first room of that temple. And so that temple must be there in order for the abomination of desolation to go in there and declare that he is going to destroy the Jews in the middle of the tribulation period. So this temple could be built before the rapture. It must be completed 3.5 years after the rapture. So anywhere along that line, it can be built. If we see it built before the rapture, you better look up. Your redemption is drawing nigh. And so how close are we to the actual fact of the rebuilding of the temple? Now, what is the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet? In Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1, it gives us some symbolic meaning dealing with the abomination of desolation. He said, "I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy." This is the Antichrist. This is symbolic of the devil's son. "And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." So you've got the different parts, symbolic of the Antichrist, the devil's son, that will be ruling the world along with his father, the devil, the dragon, for 7 years during the tribulation period. He will make a pact with Israel the first 3.5 years. They will think that he is the Messiah. They accept him as the Messiah. And after 3.5 years, they'll find out they made a mistake. He's not the Messiah, and he tries to destroy them, and God protects him during the last 3.5 years. Now, what has this got to do with Daniel? I said the abomination is spoken of by Daniel the prophet. When you go back to the book of Daniel, you'll find that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He dreamed of a statue that had the head of gold. The breast was of silver, the waist of brass, the legs of iron, the feet of iron and clay. No one could interpret that for the king. And they told him that there is a Jew that's in prison and he can interpret dreams. And so that was Daniel. They called Daniel out, and Daniel interpreted that for Nebuchadnezzar. The head of gold represented the Babylonian power. The breast of silver with the two arms represent the Medes and the Persians that would take over. The waist of brass is the Greek Empire that would take over with Alexander the Great. And then the legs of iron and the feet of iron clay is the Roman Empire that first of all would be divided in 2 divisions and later into 10 divisions. And they would exist when it seems like they couldn't exist. That's where you got the iron and the clay. Now, let's compare this image with that of the abomination of desolation, or the one in Revelation, which is the Antichrist. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had this dream. Daniel also had a dream. He saw four beasts that corresponds with this image. He saw a lion with eagle's wings. This represented the Babylonian Empire with the head of gold. And you have this beast in Revelation. He has the mouth of a lion. And so this Antichrist will have the background of a Babylonian background. And then Daniel saw a bear. This bear raised up on one side with three ribs in his mouth. Raising up on one side meant represented the breast with, or the chest with the two arms, and the Medes and the Persians that took over the Babylonian Empire. And you'll notice that this beast in Revelation has the feet of a bear. So also this Antichrist, the son of the devil, will have the Babylonian background and Mede-Persian background. And then you have Daniel saw a leopard with four heads, the wings of a fowl. And this represented the Greek Empire, where Alexander the Great died and his four generals took over. And you'll see that the one in Revelation has the body of a leopard. And so the background of the Greeks will be involved in that of the Antichrist, which will be Babylonian, Medo-Persian, and Greek. Now, you have one more beast that Daniel saw. This was a terrible beast. It had 10 horns. If I can get him to come out. It's hard to see on there. I think maybe to see in that. It has 10 horns, has teeth of iron and claws of iron. This represented the Roman Empire that would rule. And so you have the 10 horns of this beast in Revelation, which represents the Roman Empire. So this beast in Revelation, the Antichrist, will have the background of the Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Greek, and Roman. Now you've got seven heads on the beast in Revelation. In the beast that you see that Daniel saw, when you add up the heads in that beast, it's seven. You have one of the lion, one of the bear, four dealing with the leopard, and one of the terrible beast, which gives you seven heads. And we'll see the meaning of those in a few moments involved with that. And so the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet is dealing with this beast in Revelation 13, 1 through 3, which is the Antichrist, the false Christ, that he comes in on a white horse when the first seal is open, beginning the tribulation period. The Jews think that he is the Messiah. They've just got through with a terrible war where that Russia and their allies that we saw last Sunday, and where they tried to destroy Israel, and Israel destroys them by the power of God. All but one-sixth of Russia is destroyed. You have a nuclear holocaust all the way around that area, and the people of the world are scared to death. America is involved in that, and most of America is destroyed. So for one to come on the scene and say, I will take away all the nuclear weapons, everybody will want him and follow him. I'll bring you peace. And the Jews think that he's the Messiah, and so they're ready to follow him. They make a pact with him for 7 years, and that they'll have peace and everything will be just fine, but it doesn't turn out that way. Instead of peace, they've got war. Instead of plenty, they got famine, as you study the tribulation period. And then in the middle of that tribulation period, he goes into the temple. He declares that he's going to make war and destroy all of the Jews on the earth. And all but one-third of the Jews are destroyed. Only a third comes through that tribulation period. It's a terrible, terrible time involved in this. Now, as we read in Revelation 17:9, it said, and here's the mind which hath wisdom, the seven heads, talking about this beast that we saw, the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. For centuries, everybody thought that was Rome. That represented Rome because Rome's on seven hills. And Rome just didn't fit the picture. Jerusalem fit the picture, but the problem with Jerusalem was it wasn't on seven hills. And so that didn't work out, it seemingly to do that. And so I was standing on Mount Moriah, which is right by the temple, looking at the Mount of Olives, as you can see at the bottom of the picture here, just above the word mountains on that. And the guide told me then, he said, for the first time in the history of Jerusalem, Jerusalem is now on seven mountains, seven hills. I shouted hallelujah. I said, that's the answer. That's it. And knew it would always be, but we couldn't tell because Jerusalem just wasn't that big. Now it's there on the seven mountain peaks. Here's an aerial view of Jerusalem. You'll see that first star that is there, Mount Moriah. We're all familiar with that mountain where the temple was built. Then you have a mountain that's close to it, Mount Zion. This is where David mainly was working with and dealt with. And then you have the Mount Ophia. You have the Mount of Offense. Then you have Mount of Olives that we're familiar with, and most people are involved with that. And then you have the Mount of Scopus. And then the mount that we really are familiar with, but you really don't think of it as a mountain when you look at it, and that is Mount Bezeth, which is Calvary. And so these are the seven mountain peaks that are there, that Jerusalem now covers those areas, and in the fulfillment of this prophecy, and ready for the Antichrist to come in and to set up his kingdom of the seven mountain peaks. And so the temple must be built, and it could be built before the rapture. It must be completed 3.5 years after the rapture in order that the abomination of desolation could go in the holy place. In Jerusalem today, you have a number of institutions. There are schools that are training the Jews for priestly duties and for temple duties. They have the finances to build everything they need to build and the materials. This is where the Golden Dome is, and somewhere in this area was where the temple was. I was standing in this area, and right now I'm taking a picture from the Mount of Olives. Look at this. And I was over in that compound, and I was taking pictures, and I noticed a man in a suit following me. When I'd stop, he would stop over a distance. He didn't come up behind me or close to me. He just was over there. When I'd move over to a different area, he was moving over. And I kept noticing that, and finally, I was curious, and I wanted to know what he was doing. Well, he was wanting to know what I was doing. When I talked to him and asked him, he pulled out his wallet in his suit and opened it up and showed me his credentials. He was with the Secret Service of Israel. He said, there are people who are trying to destroy this Muslim mosque. That would create, if they think Israel did it, it would create a suicidal war, and we don't want that. And he said, what are you doing here? Why are you taking pictures of all this area? And I told him why. I would have told him that anyway, but I made sure that he understood what I was doing, and I was not trying to figure out a way to blow that thing up and get it away. We've had people who've tried to do that. And so as we talked, and he finally relaxed, and I relaxed with him, and we visited there. He was a Jew, and so I said, I understand that in America we have some material for the rebuilding of the temple here, and that we'll be shipping that material over there. He said, oh, no. He said, we don't need anything from America. We don't need that material. He said, we've got all the material here that we need to build the temple. And I said, do you have that available now? He said, oh, yes, we've got it. I said, would you mind showing it to me? Would you take me to it? He said, sure. Oh, I was excited. Goosebumps was just going all over me. I was ready to go. And I said, can you go now? He said, sure, I'll take you now. Well, I turned around. And I was going to walk out of the temple compound, get a taxi, and take him to wherever he wanted to go. And he stood there. And I said, didn't you say we can go now? He said, yes. And I said, well, come on. He said, no. He said, the material is buried right here. The original material of the temple was never moved. It's buried there. And he said, God will cause an earthquake, and we'll have the materials. And that, just like a Jew, I mean, they're not going to waste a penny to take whatever they can on that. Partly he's right, but they do have the materials that is there. The native material is already there. All they have to do is just start working on it, and some of them already have. Some of these institutions have already built scale models besides the one that I've shown you. There are about 3 or 4 scale models in Jerusalem of the temple area that has already been built, and reassure of the matter concerning the building when they get ready to build the temple. The finances, they already have that. This is the Western Wall where they bring the scrolls out. As you see here, And they'll have various celebrations and all. This is a very holy place. As I mentioned earlier, they think the holiness that was in the temple has gone into the wall. And then when they rebuild the temple, it will go back into the temple itself there in the presence of God. Now, along this wall of these arches that are there, they excavated down by that wall. And I heard about that, and I was told that they had dug out areas, and they were excavating underneath the wall, going into where the temple was, trying to locate the foundation of the original temple. And so when I went back in 1981 with a private guide and so on, and I only had Laban with me and another preacher, and we went wherever I wanted to go and do that. So by this time of our visit with the guide that we had, the layman was sponsoring this, and he wanted me to do my research in that. So I told him, I said, how much money do we have to work with this? And he told me, and I said, well, that's plenty, and we can do that. And I said, I want to have enough in here that we can pay the guide at least $100 a day tip, extra but what he was being paid and what we paid the organization to have him to come out. Most guys don't want to take just two or three individuals because they don't get much tip money. They'd rather take a large crowd and get more tip on that. So each day I was paying him $100, and anything I wanted to do, he tried his best to get it done. Okay, and he really wanted that tip money on there. And so I told him, I said, this archway under there is, they've been excavating that. He said, you can't go into that archway. He said, not even regular Jews can go in there. There's special Jews that can go back under that archway in there. That's a very sacred place. And said, there's no way you can get under there. Well, where you see the arrow there, to the top of that, the point of the arrow back there is that plaza where they normally are. Coming from the arrow down to the bottom of the picture, you have that wall coming all the way down. All of these buildings have been built on top of that. They excavated under those buildings along that wall. I told him, I said, they've excavated here, and somewhere on the other end, down here at the bottom, there's a way to get into that area. Oh, no, 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 he said. And I said, yes, there is. And that was late in the evening. The next morning, he came back, he said, I found it. He said, I found the way that you can get in. And I said, good, let's go. And he took me around to it, and we had to go through a little room and part of the house and got in there and had found the door and opened up into that part. And I told those that was with me, come on, let's go. And they said, no, we're not going. And the guide said, I'm not going through there either. We'll meet you on the other end. And if they don't arrest you, we'll pick you up. If they arrest you, we'll try to get you out of jail. The layman and the preacher, they said, no, they'll meet be with the guide and they'll meet me on the other end. And so I start down through that, and I have a 35 millimeter camera, and when you push the trigger on it, clicks. And so I tried to cover that up as much as I can. But with a 35 millimeter camera, you can adjust the opening of the lens. And when you push the button down, it opens it up, and you hold it down, that will expose whatever you're taking without having to have a flash. And of course, I'd done a lot of that, and so I was familiar how to do that. And so I was holding the button down and taking pictures. I could not use a flash, for if I used a flash, I'd be caught. And I didn't even want to think about the results of that. And so I was making my way through that, going down through the tunnel. Let's see, I think I've got some here. Let's see. We can get in. Yeah. And here's a picture that I was taking with that, with exposed part of it. Every now and then, there'd be a little small light bulb in there that you could see a little bit. And here was a part of the wall where they had looked like they'd excavated, and then they had sealed it up again. I didn't know what it was or anything else. I just took a picture of it. I found out later what it was. They believed that behind that they found where the Holy of Holies was. And so they have sealed it back up until the time they can really get permission and be able to do that legally. Right now the Arabs didn't want them digging under there. I came to a room under there that as I was going through that, and they have a little like a cave with many different areas going on it, but I tried to stay by the wall on that. And this room had a iron fence across it. And I'd stuck my camera lens through those iron balls or bars so you wouldn't see them, and to take a picture of this. I saw the staves at the top of this where they could carry this box out, and it had this covering over it and had the Star of David and so on this, and representing King David in that. I was holding my trigger down on the thing to get this exposed, and the guard came around. And he hollered at me, and that's why it's not a real sharp picture. I jumped a little bit on that. And he asked me what I was doing there. And I said, I'm lost. I was truthful. I didn't know my way around. I didn't know if I was going to get out of there or not. I was just going down through that thing to see what I could see on that. And I said, can you help me out? He said, you better believe I can. And he said, why are you here? And I said, well, I found this opening back here. And I came through it, and I've been walking down through this. And while we're here, what is this? And I pointed at that. He said, oh, that's our ark of today. It's not like the ark that Moses built with the cherubims and the rim. But this is where we have the scrolls of Moses. And when we have a big celebration out on the compound, we carry that out there and open it up and take the scrolls out and go through the ceremonies that are there. And that, and he said, once we've excavated back in here, then we'll have all that we need to have and be able to rebuild the temple that is there. Well, today you don't have to sneak in there. While I was at Wynnewood, this has been 15 years ago or better, there's a website on the internet, and it allowed you, if you registered with them, you could operate a camera. They had a camera that you could control by the computer, and you could turn it, you could move it up and down, and you could zoom in, and it was pointed toward the Western Wall. And I'd get up every, and sometimes late at night, early in the morning, when it'd be daylight over there, and I'd watch the tourists, and I'd watch the Jews do all kinds of things going on at the Western Wall. There were some people there, they would have a crowd or a group, and they would have them standing there, and with the Western Wall in the background, they was taking a picture. I took a picture of them taking a picture. If I knew who they were, I could have sent that to them, and it scared them to death. Big Brother was watching. But I noticed over to by the arches, coming out from the Western Wall, there was an activity there, and men were carrying debris out. They was coming out by wheelbarrows and dumping it in a truck that was allowed to be that close to it. And they was cleaning something out, and then they put up a sign there. It was in Hebrew. I couldn't read Hebrew. I took a picture of it, enlarged it, and then I ran it through a translator, and it was an opening. It was announcing the opening of this tunnel where I went through illegally. They was opening it up where you could have a tour through there. Now today, you can go on a tour and go down that Western Wall, and there'll be somebody telling you all of these different things that I've showed you there concerning the excavation and what was done. They have dug down deeper below that. I took some pictures of that and so on. What is there? So where are we at today? Right now, you've got, these are some workers that are, you've got workers all over the place that are excellent stone cutters and carvers, and they're preparing, and they can have the temple built in a matter of a few months without any problem whatsoever. Now, one of the problems that you have with the building of the temple and the preparation for it is they're training Jews that are priests, the Levites, for the temple duty when it's built, and to get back into that, they've built all of the furniture that needs to go into the temple. They've got probably four or five sets of those that depend on who allow what to have it. In Numbers 19:2, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein no blemish, upon which never came yoke. This heifer is to be burned, and the ashes of a red heifer is to be used in concentrating or dedicating the different furniture and the tools of the temple. So you can't have that without the ashes of a red heifer. Now, the red heifer is not to have one hair that's not red. If it has a white hair on it, just one, little small one, it's disqualified. They thought this one here was making it, but then they found a white hair on it, and it was disqualified. He said the red heifer without spot, wherein no blemish upon it, whenever a yoke came. They found one, and then this Temple Institute, they've got a number of these that are there now today, they examined it and disqualified that heifer. There are heifers here in Texas, in other parts of the United States, that would qualify. But the Orthodox Jews will not accept it because it wasn't born or raised in Israel. And so you got all of those arguments going on, but we're there and everything is ready. Here you can see some people in the background showing you the size of the temple that is built there. And you have the blueprints, they have the finances for it, they're ready to build this temple. Only thing that's keeping them from it is just God. And that can happen at any time. It must be built for that first room to be there for the holy place in order that the abomination of desolation would be there. And so we're at that point of the time, and we should have a revival when we begin to see this, but most people have no clue about what's going on. This is part of the prophecy. Now, I know in the matter of the rapture that no one knows of the day of the hour and the time that is to come. And so as far as the prophecy being fulfilled for that, all the prophecies that we've talked about and that you would hear that would happen in the area just before the rapture could have happened any time from the time of Paul till now. These things can happen overnight, and the things could be set in the stage and the beginning of it in operation. Right now, we're seeing a lot of this already started, a lot of it not only being fulfilled, but in being intensified. It is time for Jesus to come. The question is, are you ready? Are your friends ready? Are others ready? And so, as far as the prophecies of the scriptures, everything is ready for the rapture and then for the tribulation period and then the second coming of Christ. Next week, we'll be talking about the two olive trees, the good olive tree. You've heard about it, the wild olive tree. We've been taken out of the wild olive tree, grafted into the good olive tree. The limbs have been cut off the good olive tree, which is the nation of Israel. What does this have to do with that of the rapture and the coming of our Lord and Savior? And so pray for the services next Sunday as we get into them. Are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready for Christ to come? God has delayed the return of Jesus this hour so that you might be saved. He's delayed this hour so that our churches might get right with God and we would see others come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. We don't have time to play around. It's time for Jesus to come. May we stand with